Hello there. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you may be listening to this. I just wanted to share some things that the Lord has laid in my heart. In reading 2 Peter, there's a very interesting part of the first chapter that really, I think, is meant to grab our attention. 2 Peter chapter 1 describes attributes that should be abounding in our lives. And it says that if these things abound in us, if they're found within us, and they're being actively practiced, that we will never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they abound in us, we will never fall. And this is pretty significant. I think when we read this, that should really grab our attention. Peter is giving us these things that if we practice them actively by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, we will never be unfruitful. And that's a wonderful, incredible thing. And so in reading this, in my mind, these are things that we should be daily striving and focusing on to make sure that they are abounding within our lives. I mean, how amazing is it to think that these things could make us unfruitful? Or it could never be unfruitful, rather, and that we would never fall. Of course, our human nature is going to take over, and the flesh is going to rear its ugly head at times, and we are going to fall. But if we remain walking in the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, making sure that these attributes are within our lives and abounding, we will never be unfruitful. We will never be barren, and we will never fall, which is a wonderful promise that the Lord has given us here in 2 Peter chapter 1. So to read that part of Scripture, starting in verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, or love. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Pretty profound, pretty important that we need to pay attention to. So going back to verse 5, I want to take it sort of step by step in what we need to be adding to our lives. I think what's incredibly important is noting, first, we have to give all diligence. This is not an easy thing to do. Being very diligent means to be very, very careful, very conscientious about what you are doing. So that's important, I think, that it takes discipline. It's important to be diligent about this. It's not something that we can casually do. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, and it needs to be a daily practice. Also in verse 5, notice how it says, add to your faith. This is very important because it has to start with faith. We are adding these things to our faith. So faith is our starting point. Faith is the building block that these attributes are to be built upon, if you will. It has to start with faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul says that we are to have faith unto faith. So we have faith initially when we trust in Christ and in our walk with Christ. In our sanctification, we have faith. So it starts with faith, and for the rest of our walk with Christ until he calls us home, faith is present. So it's very important that we have to recognize that it has to start with faith first. So we start with faith in Christ, and then we build upon that. So add to your faith virtue. When I think of virtue, I think of morals, morality, and holiness. We are called to be holy. 1 Peter says that. We are to be holy because God is holy. Holiness means to be set apart or even to cut, to slice. I've heard the example that if I'm cooking in the kitchen and I'm slicing up something for dinner and I cut the tip of my finger off, you could actually use the term, you could say that my finger is holy. because it was sliced. That end that was severed is set apart from the rest of my finger, from the rest of my hand. This is what we are called to be in this world. We are called to be cut, sliced, set apart from the world. And that's what I think of when I think of virtue, holiness, morality. This, of course, cannot be done without the power of Christ. He makes us holy. He imparts his holiness unto us. And we are called to be holy, to be virtuous in our daily walk. So we start by with faith, we add virtue or holiness. Then it says to add to virtue knowledge. Now, how can we get knowledge except by reading the scriptures? You cannot know anything about a person unless you spend time with them. You can think of like that with human relations. It's impossible for me to grow closer to a friend or learn more about them, gain in knowledge about them, if I don't spend any time with them. And it's the same with the Lord. If we're not in the Word of God daily, if our minds are not being renovated and being built up on the scriptures, we can never grow in knowledge. There also needs to be a prayer time as well. James says, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God without wavering. So how can we add knowledge without being in the scriptures? That's how we grow, by conversing with the Lord, by reading his scriptures. And that's very important. So we start with faith again, we add a virtue or holiness, and then we add knowledge, which we can only get from the scriptures. And now to knowledge, verse 6 says, add temperance, which is self-control. So we know we're called to be holy and to be set apart. We have the knowledge from the Word of God, and now it comes to a matter of applying it. Applying it to real life, being temperate, having self-control. The Proverbs say that a person without any self-control is like a city without walls. And you can just imagine that. Imagine back in the day when there were kingdoms and kings wanting to take over other kingdoms. If a city had no walls, they had no strength. They were very, very easily taken over, very easily captured. And this is the exact way that we should view our minds, the exact way we should view our hearts. If we have no self-control, if we have no discipline, then we are like a city without walls. The enemy will so easily take us over. And he knows us far better than we know ourselves. So we have to be temperate. It doesn't make a difference to have all this knowledge, all the knowledge of the scriptures, and to have no self-control. It's like James says in chapter 1, that would be like being a hearer of the word but not a doer, being a hearer only. If we have all this knowledge, yet we have no self-control, it's meaningless. Continuing in chapter 6, it says to add then to temperance, patience, or other translations say steadfastness. So we are called to be patient, to patiently wait on the Lord, to be patient in trials, patient in temptations. And I also like the other phrase or the other term used for this word, steadfast. We are to be steadfast, stand firm on the Word of God. This is unwavering. We stand firm on the Word of God despite what the world says, despite culture. And that has to be present. The Lord never wavered. The Lord was not influenced by culture. He came to influence culture. It should be the other way around. We have to be temperate, but we also have to be patient and steadfast, especially in this world today where there's so much pushback. Then add to patience, godliness. Again, it's impossible for us to be godly on our own. This has to come from Christ. It has to come from faith in Jesus Christ. It has to come from a daily walk as he begins to rub off on us. I think of what John says. I think it's John chapter 3, where he says, he must increase and I must decrease. The Lord must become more of me, essentially, and I must become less of me. This is growing. This is becoming godly. And this can only be done by initially being forgiven through Christ and then by walking in the Spirit, by daily walking in the Word of God, walking in the Spirit. There's no other way to be godly besides that. And then finally, it says to add to godliness, brotherly kindness and love. And I think these are both kind of grouped together, even though they're listed separately. I think you could group them up. Brotherly kindness and love. The Apostle Paul writes a lot about love, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We also see a lot about love in 1 John, especially chapter 4. That's mainly the focus on the love of God. And I think 1 Corinthians 13 is more so on how we ought to be loving. Paul says that without love, we're nothing. It doesn't matter if I go to the stake and, you know, as a martyr, or if I have enough faith to tell a mountain to jump and it jumps. If I don't have love, then I'm nothing, because Christ is love. 1 John 4 says God is love. Herein is love, where that even though we were sinners, Christ still died for us. We have to show love to the world, because this is deep down, this is who God is. He is a loving God. He is just, but he is above all things loving, and he desires to forgive. And this is something that becomes more of us the closer we walk with him, the longer we walk with him, because the world is incredibly difficult to love, and we have to rely upon Christ. We have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to give us that ability. So if these things be in you, verse 8 says, and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 9 says that if we lack these things, that we are blind, that we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. Again, I go back to James 1 that says to be doers of the word. It says if you are just a hearer only, you're like a person who looks in the mirror at himself, and then when he walks away, forgets what he looks like, forgets what kind of a person he is. And I think there's a similarity in here. If these things are not abounding in us, we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. And then in verse 10, he says the word diligent again. The word diligent is in here twice. So we're to be diligent to add these things to our lives, and we're to be diligent to make our calling and election sure. I think of what Paul says, that we are to analyze yourself, evaluate yourself to see if you are in the faith. We have to make our calling and election sure. Are these things in my life, are they abounding? I think it's wise of all of us to pray to the Lord daily to show us where we fall short, just to show us what part of these attributes are lacking, and where we can improve them, and rely upon the Holy Spirit for that. So I thank you for listening. Just a few thoughts that I had in mind. I pray that you have a blessed day and a blessed rest of your week.